A diamond has long been a symbol of commitment, love, and trust. Isn't it time the diamond industry showed us the same values behind the scenes? Clean Origin is leading the engagement ring industry toward a brighter future, designing elegant lab-grown diamond fine jewelry that never compromises our values. A brand that doesn't just talk the talk, but one that was founded to make a difference, to offer a more environmentally friendly, conflict-free, and price-accessible choice without any compromises on quality.
Lab diamonds are grown in a lab using cutting-edge technology that replicates the process of natural diamonds. A lab-grown diamond is chemically, physically, and visually identical to a mined diamond without the adverse effects of traditional diamond mining. And for a price of up to 10 times less, we don't know why you'd choose anything else.
You know, I'm a Sag. I'm always going to say bigger is better. And with these prices, 3 carats is the new 1 carat, baby. Go big. Honestly, 5 carats is the new 3 carats if you really want to go there.
You all know that we know a thing or two about engagement rings, and these Clean Origin rings are simply stunning, classic designs, and for a fraction of the price. From the color of your metal to the center stone and setting, you'll be able to customize every aspect of this very important lifetime piece of jewelry. Whether you're looking for an engagement ring or tennis bracelet or diamond stud earrings, Clean Origin has beautiful diamond jewelry that you'll be wearing forever.
You can use code What's Your Sign for $100 off all orders over $1,000. That's $100 off all orders over $1,000.
Go to cleanorigin.com and use our code What's Your Sign at checkout for $100 off of your order of $1,000 or more.
Use our promo code What's Your Sign, all spelled out. Check out Clean Origin today.
Welcome to What's Your Sign? I'm Julia Loken.
I'm Stevie Goldstein.
And I'm the jar of pickled vegetables of this podcast.
What you pickling? Or did you pickle, or you do own?
I'm pickling every day these days. I'm really on pickles. I have a mixed veggies is my current project, where I'm just like stuffing stuff in jars and seeing what happens. I'm loving cauliflower, carrot, green bean, obviously some cucumbers in there. I also have elephant garlic that I've been using for it. Makes it really pretty, those big slices of garlic and jalapeno, and just, you know, it's really a salad in there. I've been doing cabbage, throwing cabbage in there, just getting wild.
You speak the song of the spring equinox right here. But it almost like that feels very Pisces outro of like, but I want to pickle it, but I want to preserve it, or like, or have it float in ether that makes it transform into something new, which feels very, if you're on our Patreon, you'll can hear the Sabian symbol that it's about, because it feels very, pickled vegetables feel very that Patreon symbol, Patreon symbol, Sabian symbol. You get it. Oh, we should make Patreon symbols. Okay.
I wonder if they're healthy. Every time I eat a whole jar of them, I'm like, is this like a salad or is it not good for you?
I think it is vinegar. Well,
probably good.
Does it take the nutrients? The vegetable?
You're not cooking it.
I don't think so. Cause I think that vinegar, yeah, I think we're just prolonging the, like,
is like a Maillard reaction happening or no? Ooh. I don't think so.
Great question.
It's like this, it's the age old question is like, is, could you only drink sparkling water and no regular water? And I know the answer is technically no, and I'll never know why.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I thought you can.
I thought you could.
I thought you could not.
Oh, I thought you could survive.
We
off
need
of it.
A literal. Okay. We need to bring a doctor on. Actually, yeah, I'm gonna declare
Dr.
it.
Jennifer Freed. We need to have you back here and answer some questions.
I need a physical medical doctor to answer all these hard hitting questions.
I'm like, we should be the case study. This is our Pisces and Saturn is going through my sixth house health mm-hmm. routine. You know, this, let's be the study. Can you survive on sparkling water? This is my supersize me. Is
can I sustain?
Let me know how it
bubbles.
Works. Can I only eat pickles? I'll try that one.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's there a good we go. One.
This is, we're all going to be the experiment and the sample.
I have a new sparkling water in my life, or it's like not even a sparkling water. It's like a mineral water. I got to find the name. Okay. Here it is. Gerol Steiner. Do you guys know
yeah,
this one?
Sure.
Classic. I've just been like really into minerals of late where I'm like, I think I don't get any and I'm going to drink them now. And I found at my not bougie, like a normal grocery store, more under the radar grocery store, that these bottles sell for a dollar cheaper than at a Whole Foods or, you know, any of the boutique places. So I've been stocking up. I think I actually bought them out and they haven't refreshed it since I need to go to the back and be like, hey, I need you to now restock this because I'm the person that buys this here and now. But yeah, I've been on a Gerol Steiner kick.
That just reminded me that my parents used to always drink sparkling water growing up, but I feel like it was called mineral water and mm-hmm. I did not like it as much. And there has been a pivot to calling everything sparkling water. And I do think because I feel like it used to be not like weird necessarily, but certainly not as prevalent as it is now. And I do think sparkling water versus like mineral water, there is something more like, oh, that's fun versus like, mm-hmm. I don't know, heavy, gritty. I'm just like even thinking of the taste in my mind's eye of mineral versus sparkling.
Mm-hmm. Well, not all sparkling is mineral.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because so Gerol Steiner, I'm on their website and also good God, cut the check. Like you're about to get a shining endorsement right now. But like they're packing that shit with magnesium. They have a calculator right now on their website where you can compare other water brands and what minerals they're packing. They're very into like calcium, like there's calcium in that. Like there's okay. stuff.
Well, I do feel like sparkling we only used to just hear at like fine dining where it was mm-hmm. sparkling or still mm-hmm. and never just as packaging like what Julia's saying. It used yeah. to just be mineral water. And I'm sure there were... I think we used to call it club soda or seltzer or whatever. And now LaCroix, I guess, has changed that. Big regional. LaCroix.
Yeah.
LaCroix has dropped this. Off.
I have a soda stream. Have I announced that yet?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got it semi-recently. I know you've been soda streaming. I fell off mine hard.
Can't remember if we've talked about this on pod, but I do love the soda stream. I do love being able to just have
do it when you want
bubbles on tap. Yeah, do it when I want. I'm setting it up and I'm definitely drinking more. And I will say, honestly, feeling less hydrated.
Well, do you drink it out of the bottle?
Yes.
Wild.
Oh, I'm dirty, yeah, I'm straight to
dirty
the
girl.
Dome. I'm like, this is my, I'm getting extra bottles because I'm like, I need a bottle for me. And then there's like bottles on deck. I'm pouring, but I also am pouring glasses and like putting lemon in. Tried to make our own kind of Spindrift dupe to putting, you know, muddled raspberry and lime and a little like apple cider vinegar in there too.
Oh my God.
It up, you know?
Wow.
I have tried to, you know, have fun with my sparkling water. And it's so
sad. That's all
we
have.
Dude, I do feel very, yeah, never mind. I won't even go into it.
It's all we have.
It was a Gwyneth TikTok. And I was like, we don't need to talk about
it. Oh, it's about her meal plan for the day, which was just like nothing.
She's like, I love that she went from... I love soup for lunch. And then she went, most days I have bone broth where I'm like,
yeah, I know, clocked.
The broth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not soup. Soup has things in it.
Soup.
Usually.
Bone broth could never.
Bone broth's not soup. Come on. As someone who drinks a lot of bone broth because it's a great way to get protein, Also, Trader Joe's bone broth, 20 fucking grams of protein in one of those little boxes, $2.99. Can't guarantee this is the price at your store. Again, not an ad. Just, I like the things.
Don't worry,
that
they
I
don't
like.
Sponsor anything. They never
don't sponsor shit. And you know what? Here's something.
Love them for it.
I feel like we've maybe made this request before. Let us host the Trader Joe's podcast because maybe people will listen to it because I've heard it's garbage. But the bone broth, that ain't lunch. That's an additional warm thing to drink, especially if you would like some extra protein or whatever the fuck you're looking for. That is not lunch, honey.
Yeah. But that's how I feel right now when I'm like, sometimes I put my sparkling water in a glass as a treat.
Hey, I mean, look, the wellness girlies need to know water. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see this. I'm now keeping a carafe. Whoa, look at my facial effect on there.
Whoa.
I keep a bedside carafe at my desk. Do I drink it? No, but it's there. And maybe I will, because now I'm trying to get to room temp so I can chug. Because if it's ice cold, which is the best water possible, I'm going too slow of a sip. So I'm trying to warm her up. But no, Gerolsteiner and this carafe I don't drink has been my waters of choice. of late, super fell off my soda stream. LaCroix is dead to me, and I'm open to new suggestions.
I'm chugging. I feel like the easiest way to get your water in is just have a doctor's appointment 5 days away. Suddenly, you know, you worked out for the whole year.
I know
all the water you needed.
Yeah,
I have one and two. That just reminded me. I gotta get that cholesterol in check right now before I hop over to the DR or get my BMI thrown in my face.
Wait until my doctor's like, what's your sodium intake like? I'm eating only pickles.
Your magnesium is off the chart. Are you chugging two Gerolsteiners a day?
Are you? You're like, I don't even, never mind. I was like, I just drank pickle juice. So it's like not putting salt on anything.
I just drink pickle juice every day. I do drink it at work a lot, which is, you know, not great.
Pickle juice?
I don't think it's good for you.
Not to spread misinformation, but I have heard that salt.
What else are
podcasts
for?
Yeah. I have heard that there is like a salt. Salt has gotten some bad press. You know what I mean?
No, salt is bad for you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's wretched.
But there is also, I don't know.
Don't tell Salt Bae. Don't tell Salt Bae because salt is bad. Well, you know, I had a cut. You remember my sodium issues?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But does vinegar naturally have salt in it?
Or
is
that just so?
If I'm making pickles at home, I'm only putting in the salt, right?
Yes.
Oh, so
you're putting
cruising.
It no vinegar. No, I'm like vinegar. I think is absolutely fine. In fact, I think vinegar is like good
vinegar's
for
the cheat.
I was gonna say
in
the
a good
only
way.
Reason I know that is because I was on a wild diet where you had to trigger warning diets. The like vinegar was the workaround salad dressing because on this diet you could not have salt at all, like at all, or any kind of like oil. That sort of thing too, but vinegar. He was like, "Have as much vinegar as you want." I'm like,
"My
pickle juice. Thank you so much."
My low sodium pickles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, most according to first results of Google, most vinegars are free of sodium and sugar. Okay,
great,
wonderful. Even I love a champagne vinegar. Mm. Mm-hmm.
I just went to an olive oil farm and bought some imported vinegar. White vinegar, and it's of Modena, and it's delicious. White balsamic. Ooh, give it to me.
Take me, please. Take me to church. Actually, I did go to an olive oil church in Spain one time, or it's like an old cathedral that they turned into an olive oil pressery. Yeah.
So cool.
Brag. Travel brag. It was pretty cool. Just like the pilgrimage to make to just go to like, I'm just going here just to taste a little olive oil. Mm. Trey Magnifique. It's Venus Taurus time. Is like we are just purely back to like sensual pleasures, even though it's Aries time. Aries sun time, but Taurus Venus time.
Venus
feels
Taurus
right.
Time.
I mean, Venus won't be in Taurus as long as I'd like, but it's still here.
Yeah.
Yes. A fresh happy new year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Woo! It's a party. It is.
All right, say it with me. 10.
No, 9.
No, thank 8, you for going with me. 7.
7.
6.
Well, now we're doing it.
5.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We did it. We did it, Joe. God. Thank God it's Aries season. Yeah. Thank God it's Aries time. Bring me the fire. You know, we're going to have a lot. Pisces energy is going to, it's going to be on the lips these next couple of years. Saturn's Pisces. We're not done with Pisces. We've only just begun with Pisces, but it feels refreshing to move into something new, especially since the beginning of the year has been, I don't know, a bit shitty, yeah. Like a bit, mm-hmm. a bit shitty and slow.
It's been soggy. Mm-hmm. And I think yeah, it's been a soggy first Q1, you know, mm-hmm. Q1's been soggy.
Q1's been fucked up.
Yeah. And it's time to get some heat, dry out a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think not get cracked dry, but definitely we're getting, you know.
Oh, we're getting cracked dried. A little bit. Well, not cracked.
I'm imagining like I said. Like, is that clear? Crack.
Have you seen cracks. that?
Yeah, like alligator skin.
Life hack on TikTok where it's like use the old bread and it's like you run it under the sink and then put it in the oven, which sounds like something, you know, disaster. Mm-hmm. I would never try it. I just throw it away. I'm not trying to save bread, but I guess if you know if you're trying to cut costs or whatever.
In these times, might be.
But bread doesn't. It's not an egg.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, eggs are yet,
knock on wood. Hopefully it's not, you know, going to go up high, but
$5 million to secure me an egg. Well, that's like, it reminds, there's a YouTube channel. I remember watching like early YouTube days called Great Depression Cooking with Clara. You guys ever see mm-hmm. this channel?
Yeah.
Where she's like, I'm eating the dandelions that are outside my house. Cause that's what we did back in the Great Depression. Not to say we're fully there, but these 20s haven't been too roaring. Well, I mean, it's all subjective, I guess. They've been roaring in very odd and unusual and futuristic sort of ways. But no, I think that's like smart to, I don't know, I guess like use only what you want or can or have. I guess the sustainability that you're ringing to.
Yeah. And I think just, you know, if something's too wet, you can dry it out. It doesn't ruin it.
Mm-hmm. Ish.
Yes.
Should we? This
feels like the sun. We are the laundry being hung out to dry on the proverbial line, and the sun is just going to be beaten down on us. And I think that it's going to feel pretty nice.
Well, this first week of Aries season is, dare I say, scary.
Ooh, scaries season.
Yeah, it's like kind of a bang, like what's the synonym for like something that's a banger but it scares you,
like a flashbang?
It's a flashbanger. It's a lot at once.
It is very much like blinds are open, like,
ooh, or hard, like
fireworks
up.
yeah
whatever it is, but it also is like, okay, we're awake and now we're whatever, you know, the first moment when the blinds open, but then you're like, okay, I'm up. Now I'm going to go do stuff. I also am allowing for the possibility that it could be very like refreshing and energizing.
No, I think that too. Like scary's not bad. It's better than whatever this boring, weird, stagnant, puddle, sogginess has been. Sometimes having some change or having some new energy that's, even if it's irritating, which Aries, you know, they know how to be irritating for sure. It's at least something. It's like the sign of life. Like March has been a true, I think we might have referenced this on Pod or on Patreon, but I feel like March is the first time this year we got like a pulse, a sign of life, something like, okay, we are still here. We can't go hide. We can't, you know, check ourselves out. And yeah, I mean, kicking off like we've had so far in the year of like this sun entering Aries or a sun entering its sign and then having like a new moon, like first day of, again, I gotta run the numbers. I'm like, is that common? Or has it just been only common for 2023?
I think it's always common because
I know it's like early in the season usually, but it's been like one.
It's been day two or like it's day been one ingress and mm-hmm. then new moon the next day or like mm-hmm. within
like
within
zeros and 1 degree yes. new moons always.
I think it might be more common in the
beginning of the year.
Of the year. Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to say that and I'm going to sound like an idiot and someone's going to be like, it's not common at all. But I do, we've seen them at 15 and we've seen them all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that common.
I also think that this is kind of like indicative of the year itself and of Aries season a little bit of us having this new stuff and going like, wait, I don't know that like, not necessarily intentionally, but even that like, wait, is this how this normally happens? Or am I just like coming out of a thing and figuring out what is something that is like reliably just consistent because of the way that the planets move and what is now just something that we go like, oh, well, that's normal. And going like, wait a minute, actually, that's not this is normal. That not normal. We should not be doing that. That feels like Aries season to me in a convoluted nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we start with the new moon, which we have our Patreon. We have new moon and full moon episodes every month, bonus episodes. So we definitely dive more into the new moon over there. So we won't linger too long on it, but yeah, like, hello, welcome to Aries season, new moon kickoff. And then
0 degrees,
0 degrees, and cardinal, like critical degree. Let's go. We out here.
Yeah. And I think we talked a little bit about on our episode about, you know, exploring the self and those things, which you can obviously listen to more in depth on Patreon. I mean, following that, the same week, we have two ingresses happening.
Boom.
First, we have the Pluto entering Aquarius, which I know everyone's been on, you know, bated breath waiting to see what big shift. It's a big shift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was explaining to someone who is not that into astrology about what it means and thinking about for us even that moving something as like humongous as Pluto, because it moves so slow, like even a degree is like you feel that it's like earthquake
stuff. Yeah.
Of like if you moved your apartment building a degree over, you would know, you know, it doesn't mean that the whole thing is like gonna go, but also like we're gonna feel it.
Mm-hmm. Well, also I've been seeing a ton of on TikTok and, you know, online and wherever else, but these kind of un-astrology or like non-astrology related reels, and maybe this is more for my interest, I don't know, but about cycles. And there's all these people talking about, you know, the 2008 housing crisis, and
yeah,
obviously with the current stuff that's happening with Silicon Valley Bank. We're recording this you know, March 15th, in case anything has changed or developed shifted. In that sector, yes. Which could very well happen tomorrow with all the crazy astrology in the air. But I do think that that feels relevant to people regardless of whether they're in tune with astrology or not. And that was the last time we had a Pluto shift, just signs. Mm-hmm. So I think people are feeling that cycle happening very real time. Also, just it seems like people are talking about these, you know, 15, 20 year cycles all the
yeah.
time.
Well, I just did my taxes and was talking to my beloved tax man, which not everyone can always say, but yeah, talking about, you know, because he's older, so he's seen a lot of shit and things repeat and all that. And it's, I think also this time of year, I feel like there's been so many people who are asking about astrology, even if they don't believe it, because it's just been that wild of like, so what is going on with the stars up there? And it's like a lot. You're not wrong for feeling that energy of things on the move. And even though Pluto is moving into Aquarius, you know, it's for what it retrogrades back in June. I know we like did the year ahead episode, and I think that's when we covered all the big dates, you know, looking at all the shit for 2023. So this is a taste. mm-hmm. and it will come back. And yeah, like people are for sure going to lose their houses because a lot of people signed up for super expensive mortgages with their really nice tech jobs and a lot of them are gone. And yeah. And then
the
also,
mortgage rates are shifting after COVID breaks mm-hmm. and all of those.
And then
things.
The interest rates are high and they don't seem to be coming down because God, you can tell I just talked to my tech side because the feds don't want to regulate that the old inflation, you know, like it's, I think we're still going to see a lot of these problems. Like we're not done with these problems. Like, I don't think they're just going to be brushed away. Like, oh, that wrapped itself up like neat in a bow. It's just going to keep unveiling the bigger systemic problems back to when Pluto moved into Capricorn in 2007-08, like, hey, systemic problem, crash, boom, too big to fail. It failed. And now we're back here with big banks failing yet again and probably getting bailed out yet again. And, you know, egg on our face. Like, can we not learn goddamn lessons?
Fool me twice.
Oh, Biden's going to sign a big old pipeline oil thing after all the, like, it sucks for us as like conscious individuals. And especially if you're someone that's listening to this podcast, who you probably care about other people to some degree, or maybe you're just only here for yourself, then I respect that game as well. But overall, like we folks care. And I think we're going to have to go in that Aquarian invention way, going back to, I don't know. I always go back to like the cult leader figures, and not that that means we have to succumb to whatever beliefs, but I just think of like, yeah, I think I wouldn't mind just wearing a bunch of robes and hanging out with my friends and living where we can all kind of be okay on a, like yeah. a smaller scale.
I also think like the rules you agree upon in your friend group are so much bigger and rightfully so. I don't want the government mm-hmm. regulating, you know, how you and I
do
speak
everything.
To each other or whatever, mm-hmm. but like they're unsaid, but also often respected and reciprocated in ways that you just don't even like, you never expect someone to treat you that way, you know? And so it does feel like heart opening to me to think of like, oh, what if we all just like got a house and, you know, right? like, forever well, to the system, like we mm-hmm. could just have our thing and build our own equity and do our own thing, you know? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is a very like DIY and a like, well, why don't we have, what that made me think of is I can't remember where I've been hearing it a lot, but I've been hearing this on a podcast that I've been listening to frequently about explicit rules or like explicit agreements within friendships or things like this of like establishing, not necessarily like, it's not like the law, but being like, what are your expectations of what like being a friend means. What does that mean? Like that you come to important events in my life, that you're available when I whatever, and not saying that it's like giving hours like an actual job, but having these things communicated. And I do think that there is so much that we leave out, but I don't know, in this airy season, it does feel like going like, I don't know, asking the question or saying like, what are we doing? Okay, we're doing this, or some like establishing something. Maybe we haven't discussed these things before and maybe they come up organically. Maybe you do make a list, but I don't know, having that intention of making it clear, making it known, making it manifest, making it a thing mm-hmm. and kind of doing things different, because doing things the same feels very Pluto Aquarius. And I think that this new shift, whatever it is, it might not actually be different, but thinking of it like, oh, this is a chance for us to do things differently.
Well, and it, I think with the other ingress coming on March 25th with Mars in Cancer, I feel like those are very, yes. I mean, collective, did everyone's shoulders collectively drop? Like, Jesus Christ. Goodbye, Gemini Mars. Nice to know you. I'll see you in hell. But
see you in 2 fucking years, bitch.
mm-hmm. You fuck. I wonder what the max. I didn't even.
JK, love you. Please don't smite me down. There's still a few days left while we're recording this.
I'm curious what the next Mars retrograde is in. I haven't like thought out that far. I know we'll have a Venus retrograde later this year, but anyways, I'll pull that up while we talk amongst ourselves. But because I'm actually very curious, because we had an Aries last time, and Gemini. I wonder if it will be the sextile sign over.
Maybe.
we'll find out. But I think with Mars and Cancer, which of course it's not its natural spot for Mars, but maybe as a natal Cancer Mars, I like it, especially with what we're talking about with Pluto and Aquarius. Because I do think really saying like, where are you going to show up for me? Where am I going to show up for you? Like Cancer does want it to be collective and family oriented and feeling like, I mean, I was just telling you guys, like, which is very Cancer Mars. I'm like, can we all just like cuddle? Like, can we just like wrap up in each other's arms? Can we embrace and like go and do nothing? I think that doing nothing together, especially since we've been in such an acceleration of, oh yeah, well, this is my device that I use to just do this one specific thing. And it sits in this drawer and it's like, okay, I don't know. I see like a paring down and getting a back to basics, or having just that time where like, I would like to just sit next to you and we don't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to clean your house. Like, I can just come over. Like, I can just be here with you. So I think that this week too, especially spring is springing up. People, you know, might feel naturally like they want to be out and about in that equinox sort of way. And then having Pluto, like, how are you as a society shifting? And then Mars, how we're going to get it, also having a shift, just feels like they could blend nice. And they're quincunx, which is always I love a quincunx pairing. It's a, you know, that's Taurus and Sag. So
yeah, we're here doing it.
I also think, and I know that this is not necessarily, I'm thinking very American centric, but I do feel like we could use a debilitated Mars energy. We could use some softness and some, not like, you know, aggressive, violent, whatever. Not to say that
bitch, go to
Mars
bed.
And Cancer doesn't have its own, you know, low pinch side, me. Low yeah. vibe things, but I think it also is like, yeah, we fucking cry, please. Like that's also a way to like let out anger, and also a release in a way to kind of like do things different and show that you aren't invulnerable to pain, to tenderness, to whatever those things are. And I think that that is like a nice, I don't know, like I cannot help but think about, I've said this on the new moon too, but like baby energy too, where it's like babies are crying, and that's because they're like fresh and new and they're establishing what they need and what they like and what they don't like and all of those things. And I think that we can be in this phase too, where we are deciding anew for ourselves and maybe letting down our guards a bit, maybe being a little bit more vulnerable. And that doesn't necessarily mean being like weepy, cryy, whatever, but it can be, I think, even just being tender and nurturing and nourishing and gracious with yourself, thinking of yourself as something that does not have to be pushed and prodded and aggressively forced into a thing. We can also be kind of watery and I don't know, flowing, ease, bring in some fucking ease and some gentleness and some, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's, you know, sidestepping and, you know, maybe it's that sidestepping can be connotated, I think, in a negative way. And Mars is not going to be in Cancer for quite as long as the Gemini. So this is a shorter transit. And it is a strategy that you can use wisely in a short amount of time. I wouldn't say to like keep doing that forever and like keep avoiding or keep sidestepping. But sometimes it is like, hey, let's go around that thing. Let's like go around the pothole, or let's go around the whatever. And sometimes it's an issue you can come back to later. You can table something and come back to it. I also think it's like Cancer's phases, right? So it's like not being so tied to how you feel in the moment. Like sometimes you wake up and your back's a little creaky, and then, you know, throughout the day it kind of loosens up. Sometimes it takes a couple days to get it. So it's that being a little gentler and softer with ourselves. And also still has a outer shell vibe. I think there's a potential for getting defensive, maybe. I wonder, in a way, when I think about Mars, I think about like fighting style, kind of video game fighting style.
Choose
and I
fighter.
Feel like, yeah, I feel like this Cancer is, it's there, it's good on defense. So like, you know, it doesn't mean get defensive when people, you know, are rightfully calling you out or not calling you out at all, but understand, and I think kind of that study your opponent kind of thing and play defense and You know, if there are things in your life that you can't take active steps towards, like what are the passive back end things? What are the, if you're looking for a new job, but like you can't afford to change positions right now or whatever, if someone's told you you can't move up or whatever, what are the back end things we can do to build your resume? These defensive building things instead of like the aggressive attacking, because I think that's where Mars is debilitated.
It's like, what's the escape plan now that you've caught the vibe? The vibe kind of sucked. Like, I think of Cancers as having back burner sort of things. They're cardinal. Like it does think of the route. And I do think of Cancers as, you know, they're not going to just like leave something or end something and then go, well, now what? It's like, well, I've had this marinating and now maybe I'll like bring this more into my orbit. Also, fun fact, the next Mars retrograde won't be for some time since we're just wrapping up this one. It's not until December 6, 2024, which will be in Leo. And then it will retrograde back into Cancer, speaking of Cancer Mars. So the next time we're going to have this Cancer Mars energy, it's going to start out. It will be before the Leo retrograde, but then go back and then move in. So anyways, just hot on the lips with what we were discussing. So yeah, a poppin first week of Aries season. Oof. All right. I'm already tired. But
it's the next week is change. Not so. Yeah. I mean,
maybe
that following week, I think we're thinking
actually
about,
that next week is all my transits are getting returned. So I'm like, yeah, this is great.
Well, it's like the following week, we have a Mercury conjunct Chiron. We have a Mercury conjunct Jupiter. And I think coming after that ingress of Cancer right there, I think that thinking of that defensiveness.
I just have to say
thinking
it.
Of that. Yeah. And I also think that like, I don't know, there is some like facing things or dealing with them. And I think Mercury is also moving so fast through Aries. It's going from 15 degrees, 16 minutes, that conjunction with Chiron on the 26th. And then it's already at 18 degrees the next day, conjoining Jupiter. So I think it is that, like, I don't know, thoughts move fast, ideas move fast. It's easy to kind of like get ahead of ourselves. And I think that we thankfully will have maybe that Mars trine Saturn later in the week on the 30th, and Venus conjunct Uranus. I don't know, that could kind of go either way, but maybe slowing us down a little bit or kind of checking those things, which is, I think it's fine. And I think that's a little bit of an Aries kind of like go, go, go. And then it's like, oh, hang on, we gotta let's take a nap. Let's eat some food. Let's, you know, not completely, I don't know.
Yeah. It feels like having Mars and Venus in that week, having some strong aspects, Mars with, it, not like, hang on, what am I trying to say? Mars with like a malefic sort of aspect of like this trine of Saturn of like, it might feel really like wanting to do a lot, but Venus conjunct Uranus, which, you know, that's Uranus is kind of a wild card in the mix. I think it also is like maybe allowing others in as well, or like allowing that, like allowing the plan to update, like Mars working well with Saturn will probably really want to like go this certain way or follow this routine or like hit the steps like this. But then there is that Earth, since it's Earth and it's like, no, trust me, if the invitation to do something a little bit different or with someone else or have someone pick up that work for you. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I think thinking of like a Venus and Mars aspects happening in the same week of, yeah, you could do this, but like, you don't have to like this could happen this way, but it also could, totally not, if you just kind of maybe release back to the Saturn Pisces phrase of releasing the grip a bit, which might not be natural with, you know, since there's a lot of water. It's so wild now, like looking at the transits and seeing like, oh, trines to Saturn. Like, I'm so used to all the air trines because we've had this air Saturn for the last few years, and it's like, oh wow, yeah, we're getting positive influence to the like water. Like, I don't know, like the water is cooking up anyways, like duh, like, oh my, well,
no,
water aspects.
Like, this is the,
it's
cool.
New. It's still new. It
feels fresh. Yeah.
It's, yeah, not it's like still duh. Very fresh.
It definitely doesn't feel like duh.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm saying something simple. It feels simple, but it's still wild to me. Like, oh my God, we're embracing water. I just have to remember that. Like, it was all so heady and airy. And that doesn't mean that the elements don't go away now that we've had these moves. That's why we have all the signs and different elements, blah, blah, blah. But damn, it's just water time. it's just a feeling time.
That like cooling off of not letting yourself overheat or whatever. Mm-hmm. Again, we have that Mercury Jupiter, which to me is very like getting hot headed and, you know, gassing yourself up, which is great. But it also, even that, thinking of that being like, you know, big ideas, all of this, but then kind of having to be brought back down to earth and going like, oh, actually that big thing that you had planned or whatever, like that date's not available. And that kind of like splash of water sort of on there. I'm getting a lot of like game, maybe it's because the Mario movie's coming out too, which I think is also a thing of like thinking of this as that, where it's like, you know, okay, you just ate the mushroom and now you're like big Mario. And then you like trip into the ocean where you get back. You're not like sunk, you're not drowning, but you're back down to like regular size because the mushroom wears off in the water. So you got to like do this. But if you just like swim through, then you're going. Mm-hmm. And then that Venus conjunct Uranus is like, you know, you get some gold coins, swim it. If you like go under the tube instead of going into it, there's a little like special box there too.
That's mm-hmm. that shakeup that if you ride the wave, it works out. I think that's the hard part about it being in Taurus is, you know, if you try to fight, you're on your surfboard and you try to fight against the wave, I mean, you're going to fall off. That's the whole thing. But if you can catch it and you can go, you can ride it all the way to the bank. And I think that's really, it is digging your heels in, but it's knowing when to let up and knowing when mm-hmm. to like go harder. And so I think there is definitely a delicate balance to that, but it could be, you know, a big win for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like this week, if I could have any advice, it would be, I think, coming back to the Mercury conjunct Jupiter is to like add a caveat to like, I'd love to do that thing with you. Like, we'll see.
If I'm available.
Yeah, if I'm available.
And also, you don't, if you're not 100% sure, maybe you don't write it online. I just feel mm-hmm. like it's one of those things where the way, like, some, have you ever searched, you know, for the terrible words on your Twitter and your advanced search? And then,
oh, yeah, of
you
course. Find,
why did I write bitches for this or something? And it's like, it was a cultural moment, something that everyone was commenting on, that mm-hmm. out of context, it looks like I'm saying something stupid about women or something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something like horrible. And it's like, if you look and you do the research, you find that, like, okay, like, I am who I think I am or whatever. But you don't want to just say it. I think what you're saying, like, sick, hashtag it with the thing you're talking about, like clarify context. So that someone doesn't just, you have a job interview and they go and they see that first thing. They don't know what's about the slap or whatever mm-hmm. the thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think too with Mars, like, I think you said it, Lisa, but Mars in Cancer, moon ruled, like you might just feel differently the next mm-hmm. day as well. And I think with Venus and Taurus rooting back to like, what's feeling good, what's paying you the most, what's like, yeah, you might like want to help a friend with a thing on Thursday, but if you get a, like an amazing job or something that you can't like miss, I guess it's just, I feel like there's room to just be flexible and, but also tell people that rather than be like, I would never miss it for the world. And then something comes up where you have to miss it for the world. And it's like, fuck, like I just said more than I should have said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And then that week kind of ends with, you know, Mercury coming back home for me, sign mm-hmm. of Taurus. I know it's not its favorite, but I'm here being blunt, editing your pilots and your packets and your, you know, all the things mm-hmm. that Mercury Taurus does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Saying them clearly and effectively and with as little waste as possible.
Squaring off with Pluto on entering on April 3rd, squaring off with Pluto on April 3rd. Yeah, it feels, I mean, aren't we all also thinking about money in this mm-hmm. year? The Uranus Taurus of it all has just been.
Well, maybe so that's messages from
the
banks and the all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is like more of the Mercury and Taurus is like, you know, Gemini ruled mutable, something that can be moving and changing and shifting like that. But there is also information that is like, this is how much money is in your bank account, or this is how much this costs, or this is the recipe. This is the thing, these things that kind of like aren't negotiable mm-hmm. in that way. And where it's like, yeah, it's maybe not necessarily what people always want to hear. And that doesn't mean that it isn't still like effective messaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that next week with when we start out with Mercury and Taurus, and then we have the full moon. It feels like that whole week is like facing truths, and then maybe a little bit of like, not like then at the end of the week being like, nah, actually, like I did not want to come to terms or face or deal with any of that, which is fair.
I think, and then it's Easter Sunday too, so it's that, like, I feel like this happens every time I see my family, and I won't be seeing them on Easter, but I usually do. But I'm like, I have all this stuff, I'm going, I'm juiced, I can't wait. And then you get there and you're like, I remember these fucking people, they don't get it, I don't want to talk about my thing I was gonna tell them about, you know, it's that whole exact thing.
Mm-hmm. But it's also that, like, I mean, yeah, we have Mercury moves into Taurus on the 3rd. It immediately squares Pluto. And then we get a sextile to Saturn, though, on the 5th. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, is like that. It doesn't mean forever, but it does mean like this is today's total. If you want tomorrow's total to be different, then we need to like adjust our structure a little bit. We need to do something. It doesn't mean go off of a different total or change the information. It means here's what we're working with. And I think I like that, like, square to Pluto too, of being like, you know, again, thinking of squares not so much as difficult, but as motivating, as movement, as action producing. And I think that even thinking of that, like, sextile to Saturn too, of seeing numbers move or whatever, notice when you can see like hard data shift, that does, I think, open up something to me in terms of being a sextile to Saturn, going like, oh yeah, that sustained effort does actually make a difference. And what could we do with this kind of, what if we scaled that? What if we did whatever? And how that opens our minds for possibilities of new structures or possibilities of change and growth and, you know, how things work. And then we have that full moon in Libra, which, you know, not aspecting that Mercury in Taurus, but thinking of just the Venusian influence, I feel like, the Libra side of all of this stuff with the sun conjunct Chiron, and kind of, I don't know, thinking of this as like a, I don't know, not necessarily like a concession, but I don't know, let's like agree, I don't want to say agree to disagree, it's not that, but adding some softness into judgment. Some niceness. Yeah, like
I feel like it's definitive. I find full moon Libra like quite definitive. It's ending that back and forth, mm-hmm. to me, where mm-hmm. it's like, hey, if we're never going to balance, it's the scale's going to tip. So either it's going to tip or we're going to come to an agreement. It's the ending of like, it's judgment to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with relationships too, because I think of Libra in action with others, whether that's literally who you're dating or your friends, I think it does, with that full moon spotlight, shine a light on where we're in partnerships with other. And I think this Aries season, now that I'm zooming out a bit and what we've talked about, it feels quite direct, like, which is very Aries, but there's like there's so much support from the other planets, but direct in this very, like, what do I just need to be me? And what do you need to be you? And it feels like it really comes to a head with the full moon in Libra. And spoiler alert, cause we'll get there at the very end, but like, hello, last lunations before eclipse time too. So like, you know, like it can be a last time where we might feel a little more in control of how we're approaching these relationships and what we want to discuss and what we want to share and what we, and that doesn't mean it has to be like cutting off things. I think that could be like maybe getting more committed with a partner or getting more committed in your friendships or like establishing those rich, back to Saturn Pisces, rituals or what you really want. Like, fuck, we're in April, like now the year's flying after that soggy ass beginning of the year. So like, what are we doing with the rest of it? And I think, and who are we doing it with? And shit's expensive. So I think it's also like, I was having this with some girlfriends where I'm like, I want to see you, but I don't want to spend $1 million. Do you want to, like, where do we either meet, we need halfway, to do this shorter, or we meet halfway, or we like, I come to you, we have this, like, but how do we be together? And, yeah, I think we're all figuring out how we're all going to be, how we all are being together as a society.
Yeah, I think deciding to couple up or go together is just as big of a judgment as ending something. So it is, I think, making a choice, I think, is
well, yeah.
And then, well, you know,
for Libra, that doesn't really like to do that. The full moon feels like a good push for anyone in their Libra places of their life to do it, to like be like, no, like we might need to just know what's happening. Even though the next few days there's
a lot of back and forth again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we'll have a April 7th, we'll have a Venus and Taurus sextiling Neptune, which just feels, I mean, that feels like a, when is that? What date is that? Like, oh, I'm just like day of the week. God, that's going to be kind of like a hot, that's like a, it seems like a romantic weekend. Like, yeah, you know, like
a little the full moon. Like, mm-hmm. Husby's birthday.
Oh, yeah. We'll be partying. Mm-hmm. And then Mercury and Taurus sextiling Mars. It just feels like really like that. Like, I love you guys. Like, I love you, man. Like just being able to not hold back either. Because, yeah, once Taurus and looking at all this Taurus and Cancer stuff we have going on with Pisces in the mix too, depending on the planets, whatever, there's encouragement to just be comfortable and be yourself. And there's been a lot of we're in the comfy time. There's just a bunch of comfy sign times. I'm a very Taurus Cancer person myself, so I'm loving it. Let's all put on the stretch pants and, you know, call it a day. Yeah, give ourselves room to breathe.
Have we gone to April 11th yet, when Venus enters Gemini and that's coming home for me? That's where I'm ready for it.
Yes.
No, not yet. Well, and it's going to then trine Pluto too, but that's right on the horizon. Then for the next week, we'll have Venus and Gemini, and then it trines Pluto. Mm-hmm. And also on that same day, we'll have Aries, the sun conjunct Jupiter. So a lot happening in and around the 11th. I think we move a little away from the more comfy to the, like,
it's so
a little more body heady. Like, I don't want to say it's like always going to be combative with like Gemini or Aries, but it values different things than Taurus and Cancer. It's more, what's the, I always forget, not to say it has to be gendered like female masculine, but it is the more
aggressive,
you know, like,
and mm-hmm. Yeah, into extroverted.
Yeah.
That totally. Sort of thing. External.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Calling us out, which makes sense too, with Sun and Jupiter conjunct together. But then, yeah, Venus trining Pluto too just feels like that could be continue on these connections, build up from the full moon. This could be continuing to, like, I don't know, that feels like back to Venus Gemini stuff of like meeting people or like clicking with someone, or just like, I think of Pluto as like in that eclipse sense of like maybe this person you meet this weekend like changes your life forever. I don't know, like giving into that sort of those fate sort of things with Pluto too.
Well, I think it's like backtracking a little, but going from that full moon, we have the, like, I don't know, softness it feels like, or like a little like, okay, you're going to get these kind of the rest of the weekend to either like recover or celebrate. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever it is that's happening.
Venus-y.
Venus-y. Again, either like, okay, here's a, you know, enjoy yourself, but then kind of having that be like, I don't know, back to business, back to like, we can't sit in that for too long. We are still like moving forward and going. And this is a time when I think that things can move fast because we're getting into eclipse season at that point. We are in like the, that, I don't know, portal time. And I do think that I love all of these like aspects to Pluto when things are coming in, because it does feel like we'll get those. We didn't talk about them obviously in these transits because the moons move so fast, but there is like an aspect to Pluto with everything right away, because it is like, I don't know, the new, I don't want to say new, I don't know, the new class or whatever. Like when you're there, like everyone's like meeting the new boss for the time period, yeah, or whatever. And it's like, oh, what, everyone is feeling different about this new person kind of being in charge of this. And some people are going to be like, oh, finally, I'm so glad that this person is here. And other people are like, like, you know, Capricorn is going like, good luck, you know, like those kinds of vibes. And I think Gemini is excited for how quickly those kinds of transformations could happen as soon as you speak them out loud, as soon as you say them, as soon as you meet a person who could do a thing for you. Like, that is how those things happen, is from that like
What's the thing that made Big Bang?
Yeah.
I think interesting too, because I think energy starts getting whipped up again, you know, towards the end of Aries season. We are going to have an eclipse happening right at the, you know, right at the very edge here. But I think also it being that little taste of Pluto in Aquarius, because it's going to retrograde like it's in the beginning of Taurus season again. So like, I don't want to get that far ahead, but just remembering that when energy gets ripped, like whipped up, and we're feeling anxious and all this, like we are going to go back to calm and, you know, familiar soon.
Mm-hmm. And, but before we're there too, just coming high off that April 11th, big date with, you know, the Venus Gemini trine with Pluto, and then Aries conjunct. And then right a few days later, though, well,
let's not pass over like, that sun conjunct Jupiter either, because that also is like one of those, you know,
best days
of the year sort of things. And I do
think they say,
which depends on, you know, I think how you're feeling in this kind of like post full moon space. But that does to me feel like, I don't know, that's nice. I think it's a nice kind of like, I don't know, check-in reminder as we're in the final stretch of Aries season. I think to make note of that day to either be like, that feels like a you're alive and we're here and we're doing it. And so that's always like, you know, either we're super grateful for it or feeling the sun on our faces, the reminder that we need to like push through to the next day or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that like take that day to be alive, to feel like,
I think in with the Venus Gemini too, in that whole day, there's a lot of pep and zest. And I think it feels like it could be a day where there's like a big reward or payout, or like, I don't know, like if you want to take the risk or like roll the dice or do something a little differently or outrageous or brave, even. I think of Aries and Gemini signs that like, they give it a shot, you know, they see what can happen and they make it work. And then we're going to April 14th, we get hit with, I mean, I'm sure we've had some square action from Saturn maybe, but like Venus, we're getting our mutable square. Now it's the mutable kingdom of squares from or oppositions from Saturn. This is, you know, we've had a lot of fixed talk over the last few years with Saturn and Aquarius, and now mutables. Now is your time. So I don't think that always means things are going to be bad, but squares are pressure and they're notice me aspects. And with Venus that wants the world and Saturn that's like, how much does that cost? It feels like there's like a lot of checks and balances happening in Aries season of, you know, wanting to go full for it. And then also being like, pace yourself a little bit. Like I know Aries and Gemini are impulsive, you know, they like to do things and do it now. So there is those reminders of like, not everything can be at once too. And sometimes you have to clear your plate before you go back up to the buffet with all your like half eaten muffins and like, yeah, dude, no, like don't bring that up there. Like no one wants to see that shit. Like don't bring your germs back to the table. So I think there's a bit of like, I'm like historically growing up, like never chewed my food, and it feels like chew your food. Oh no. Like they'll still be there. Like, especially cause Saturn with Pisces is about, I think, of the indulgence and Gemini wanting to experience it all. So it's like, I don't think it means hold back from experiences, but know where maybe you're overloading and not getting the full satisfaction because of the overload.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're almost.
And then our final, our.
And our just home, like that.
A few days. Yeah.
The big guy.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the month, unless there's anything else. We have
North Node sextile Saturn on the 18th and the South Node trine Saturn, which to me feels very like ceremonial as we change over into as the node shift. But yeah, I like that as that kind of like transfer over and the kind of like solidifying of maybe what we've learned through this eclipse series, what has been, you know, irrevocably kind of done away with or changed or transformed and now is like part of the structure of us, of our understanding, of our imaginations and kind of keeping that in mind as we go into this next phase. We still will have another eclipse on the Taurus Scorpio axis in November, but that will be the, you know, we're doing that time where we're in half in one, half the other. And I also feel like having that Venus square Saturn and then having that prior to that, and then having those sextile and trine at that same degree. I know it's because Saturn moves slow, but it does feel like a reiteration of like, no, that was it was right for you to remember this thing, or like, yeah, that isn't a thing we can necessarily like talk our way out of or around or move past. We do need to address this either because it was like worth addressing, or but because we still have questions or tenderness around this or something like that. Our final transit of Aries season will be the solar eclipse.
Truly wild at 29 degrees.
At 29 degrees of Aries, 29:50 minutes, like truly
total.
Wow.
A total solar eclipse. That means it's the second new moon of the month, this one being an eclipse. Mm-hmm. And way to close out the season. Started and finish.
0 and 29.
All right, moon, we see you, Cancer energy, this little season.
It does feel again like that kind of like Mario power up thing of that being like it could be truly like the juice. You can run through the level so fast, hitting everything, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, it feels so appropriate too. I mean, I know we're not done with Taurus and Scorpio, but we're wrapping it up. And we'll have, you know, to look a tiny bit ahead, you know, because then Taurus season starts the day after the eclipse, and then we'll have Mercury retrograde, and then we'll have the full moon in Scorpio eclipse, yada, yada, that continues. But we're changing cycles, and we're still going to wrap out that Taurus Scorpio energy, but now going to Aries Libra and thinking of an Aries North Node. It feels just so appropriate with these last few years to have like, who are we after all this? Like, who am I? Just capital I, me. And who are you? Who am I with you? And I think these relationship things that we talked about that were kind of popping up here and there as we had a lot of Taurus and Cancer influence and then the Libra full moon, all of that jazz is just building to this. How are we in partnership? How am I in partnership with you? Do I change? Am I lit up? Am I dimmed? Yeah. I think just seeing how we actually feel around each other, which I know like is again, back to duh, but I think that's going to be a lot of what's on display as we enter these unknown eclipsy times, which, you know, we wish we could tell you what will happen. Well, you can't do that really with anything in astrology. We can guess, we can do a vibe check, but for now we surrender and see what comes up and see. But I think the theme of always coming back to the Aries things of, is this working for you? And do you feel, are you okay? Like, do you feel, are you, yeah, you still standing? Feels very like zombie movie in a way, or like Last of Us.
Like, what that says about you, what that relationship means about you, that whether that's a relationship with your job, with your partner, with your pet, like you can see, you know, if you like, this is a horrible example, so, you know, give it grace. It's not something I do, and that's not something I see often, but see somebody kick their dog.
Oh God.
That changes how you feel about them. Like it makes you 180 on, well, me, it makes me 180. Yeah. But like that kind of thing where it's like that, it's one swift moment. And sometimes, like, I mean, you know, sometimes people have to be, you know, fight animal. Like, you know, I'm talking survival situations, not like kicking your pet, but like,
I was scared where you're going to go with this, Lisa. I was like, go on.
But like sometimes, you know, there's a situation where, you know,
if you have to fight off a dog
and there's a bear and it's a cocaine bear, but like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're in danger is a different situation than your pet, but like seeing that kind of thing will completely change you. It changes who you are, like seeing something like that. And I think those kind of things getting illuminated, seeing how someone behaves at their job can make you be like, oh, I don't want to like be friends with this person anymore. Or you can be like, wow, I didn't know they like gave so much or had this kind of relationship. So I think it's definitely those kind of things, that relationship with you and something else showing something about who you are.
That made me think of, especially as we enter, we're in Aries season and we're going to have the Aries eclipses kicking off. But I think what you said too, is like, where are we expressing disappointment, anger, frustration in ourselves and others, where we may be blaming others, where it's maybe an us thing or maybe vice versa. I don't know. Like, everyone's life is different. It'll play out. But it just made me think of too, of how we express those things, our back to those, like the terms of expectations and disappointments and what we're even looking for. So our relationship to anger might be really tested and on full display as we enter a new zone.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
Aries season.
That's it.
I mean, I'm not mad at it.
Excited for it.
Yeah, why not?
I feel like there's a reason fire is like what we kick it off with.
Mm-hmm.
It's
an appetizer before Taurus season. We'll take it. I'm just kidding. I mean, I really love Aries season. God, the beginning of the year was just really slow. So I'm just ready for something new. And it seems like there's an encouragement to enjoy yourself a bit too. Like, there's so much rooted in feeling good and enjoying what you like and not, I don't know. There's like an earnestness that I like with Aries. Where if they like it, they like it.
Yeah. It's okay to do things that you like, that make you feel good, that you want to do, that excite you. And
you don't need to downplay any of it.
Yeah.
You know?
That is justification. Mm-hmm. You know,
no downplay, just pure enjoyment when you can, because shit's hard. So
yeah,
play back to the Aries child, like first sign babiness. It's like, yeah, we might just be cranky. And that's like, we're allowed to be imperfect. Okay, that's my last rant at the end.
Yeah.
We're allowed to crack. We're allowed to be little assholes. Just don't, you know, do no harm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Apologize. Don't leave.
And apologize. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Express yourself.
We did it.
We did it. Happy new year.
Happy new year.
Spring.
Happy spring. Happy Pluto and fucking Aquarius.
Yeah.
Here we go. New era, who dis?
This is exciting. Exciting to be here with you guys as this is happening and to talk about it and have these discussions, and looking forward to seeing what else is coming up and what else we're going to be talking about.
This is again a duh, but it's so wild for like our podcast, since it is astrology. It's like, we've seen so many different times and eras, and since part of it is measuring time, it's just like, I can't believe we're gonna have all these outer planet shifts coming really soon. So anyways, just a
essential
thought. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well,
all right,
see you next week.
See you next time. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to What's Your Sign. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love this podcast, please support us. Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/whatsyoursignpodcast. The link to support us is in the show notes.
Follow us on Instagram at What's Your Sign Podcast, on Twitter at @whatsyrsign_pod, and TikTok at What's Your Sign Podcast. For business opportunities, advertising, or commission readings, email us whatsyoursignpodcast@gmail.com.
WIS is produced by Julia Loken, Stevie Anderson, and Lisa Chenu. Artwork by Alexa Vicious, and theme song by Honor Nezzo.